and as far as being begotten, radio. God said, "You're my begotten son." Praise God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Praise God. Welcome to Late Night in the Word, an outreach ministry of Olive Branch Ministries International, located in Acworth, Georgia, just northwest of Atlanta. Our pastor is Richard Weintraub, and we are a Hebraic Roots ministry. Welcome. We'll be broadcasting for the next 30 minutes over Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to Blog Talk Radio to those that are listening. You can certainly reach us a couple of different ways if you'd like to. Grab your pencil or pen if you like. And you can always join in to the Bible study by asking questions or letting us know that the study has blessed you, or ask for prayer. By either dialing Blog Talk Radio phone number is 347-850-1420. That's 347-850-1420. Or you can email us at the word contact at olivebranchonline.org. That's the word contact at olivebranchonline.org. And keep in mind that at the top of the hour, when our time's up on Blog Talk Radio at midnight, we cross over to our webpage, and you can certainly join us at www.olivebranchonline.org. That's www.olivebranchonline.org. And at the top of the hour, we'll welcome you over there and give you the phone number. So without any further ado, here is Pastor Keith.
Thank you very much. Welcome to everyone who is out there listening, and I appreciate you coming on. We just want to say Shabbat Shalom. It's a great day during the week, the seventh day of rest. And thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. I want to read something that was sent to me via email, which is really just a collection of good reports to verify our faith and kind of call those who are doubters fools. God is always going to be supported by archaeology. And the headline of this article that came out is Red Sea, : archaeologists discover remains of Egyptian army from the biblical Exodus. And I'm going to read a little paragraph here. The scientists led by Professor Abdel Muhammad Gader and associated with Cairo's University's Faculty of Archaeology have already recovered a total of more than 400 different skeletons, as well as hundreds of weapons and pieces of armor, and also the remains of two war chariots scattered over an area of approximately 200 square meters. They estimate that more than 5,000 other bodies could be dispersed over a wider area, suggesting that an army of large size who have perished on the site or could have perished on the site. And then they've got pictures of some implements and different things. But this is interesting. At the bottom of this article, this little last paragraph says, "The astounding discovery brings undeniable scientific proof that one of the most famous episodes of the Old Testament was indeed based on an historical event. It brings a brand new perspective on a story that many historians have considered for years as a work of fiction, and suggesting that other themes like the plagues of Egypt could indeed have a historical base." So,
wow.
Amen, wow. Amen. I think it's going to continue to be this. You cannot argue with archaeology. As much as they want to dig it up and destroy it and throw it in a trash heap so that no one sees it, so that they can continue to attack the Bible as an antiquated piece of historical fiction, they can't argue with antiquity.
There's nothing sweeter than getting a sign when you weren't looking for a sign.
Hallelujah. So just be encouraged. I know that there's been some videos that have come out on this particular man's discoveries in the Red Sea. They have found this one video that I watched. They had axles from chariots that were all completely made of coral, but they were certainly, it was an axle with a wheel on it, and the wheel had spokes, and they're sticking out of the ground, and it wasn't just one, it was numerous things. So just be encouraged. Faith, as you should know, if you haven't heard, faith is based on facts. And even though you may not see that the facts are there, they're still based. Faith is still based on facts. God is not an invisible God. God has made himself known through the things that have occurred on the earth. And he's always verified by those events as they're, laid down in the earth for history to see or for the future to see. And that just is exciting. And it's exciting in our day because as the world becomes more modernized and technological and more advanced in its pride, which is what technology and philosophy, intellectualism, all these things are building the case for man's pride. And as he becomes more and more proud and swells in his mind, God is there with a sense of humor, making sure that he is always verified. So it doesn't matter how smart man gets, man can't escape the reality of God.
It's pretty interesting how at this time, when so many want to rise up against Israel, that this news starts being discovered and talked about. And it's almost like Hal and I were talking today about how the woman at the well speaking with Jesus knew of the Hebrew culture, knew Torah, and she knew of the God that rescued the people or liberated the people out of Egypt. I mean, she knew this. So there's no mistake that those people who are coming up and rising up against Israel today, they have heard of that history, and they may be of the generation that says, oh, this never really happened. And then the evidence, I think that's wonderful. I mean, it's just exciting.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, well,
I like that about John chapter 4, about the woman, because she mentioned that, hey, this is Jacob's well. Mm-hmm. And so she's trying to connect herself to Jacob in the fact that she drank that water. And Jesus said, hey, the water I got, you know, you drink this water, you're going to thirst again with the water I have.
Hey, you're really going to be connected.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Interesting.
Did you have a comment, Brandon?
I was going to comment that, the generation today, we don't want to
acknowledge what the Lord said and everything like that, even though they know the information. It's like the generation of Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph or didn't want to acknowledge Joseph.
Good point.
Yeah.
Because they may know the truth, but they refuse to see it because they have an ulterior agenda and they don't want to recognize it.
Oh, yeah, that's history. That's just a story.
Yeah, well, it's a story, but those who don't know it or refuse to believe in it are bound to repeat it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or they're bound to be judged by it. Because when you make decisions without God and his people in the middle of your worldview, you're going to end up stepping on that to your own destruction. And I think one of the things that we need to be really, really careful about in this age is to be mindless. And I say it specifically that way because I think sometimes it's easy in our culture to become very indifferent because everyone seems to be indifferent. I don't think verbally we're indifferent, but I think in action, we are indifferent. I think everybody's got a comment to make on Facebook. Everybody wants to put out a Twitter post. But how many people are really ready to take a stand and stand up and communicate with your feet, with your actions, with your character? If this kingdom of God is beyond the earthly, how long do we have to talk about moving out of the earthly before we just do that activity? And I think that there is an ease in Christianity and even in Judaism at times. We're part of it, but we're not willing to live as if we're part of it. And living it is everything. Because, and I want to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Because there's a phrase here. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the faith here has it's a double reference. It's on the foundational end, it's the faith of Jesus. We're justified by the faith of Jesus. But James makes it pretty clear that works is part of our walk. It's not part of our salvation, but it is part of our walk. And you justify your statements of belief by walking with the Lord in the faithfulness of Christ. And I find that that is a missing part of how we live. I think we're conditioned to speak a lot of words. And quite honestly, I think we're the talk generation. In the last 20 years has seen a meteoric rise of talk radio, of social media. And social media has brought the opportunity to every, I mean, we're living proof. Look, we're doing a radio program via the internet that wasn't possible even 10 years ago. We didn't have this. You had to go to the radio station to do radio. Now you can put some mics together on a table and have a soundboard and a computer, and you're broadcasting to the entire world. If we had access, somebody in Israel knows about us, they can go to our website and be listening to this program right now. That's unbelievable reach.
Praise to God that it were so.
Yeah, I pray that that is the future of what we're doing. However, having that voice, I don't know if everybody knows this, but just because we have a voice right here doesn't mean entirely that we are actually living what we teach. And Pastor Weintraub has said that to me over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. If you're going to teach it, you better be living it. And that's a tough statement. So in a world of talkers, do we see the actions behind the talk? When I look at this verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a fruitfulness that comes out of the confession. And I can't stress that enough. It's a responsibility. We're saved by grace. It's by faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. If it was of us, then it's not of grace. It's of works. I now have to strive to build a case for salvation before God. He took that away. Because invariably, when we talk about qualification for entrance, man gets his thought life involved in that, and we start writing lists of qualities that are acceptable or not, and no one can come in except for a small little circle of people. Judaism was doing that to people. Well, you don't fit our program, so you're not qualified. They were disqualifying the Gentiles. And God said, I desire to draw the Gentiles. Why desire to draw the stranger? Why did he have commandments in Leviticus to not cut the corners of the field and leave it for the stranger?
So that the stranger could eat.
Amen. So the stranger walking through the land of Israel would find food, and it was free, and they would marvel because God wanted to sustain them. Jimmy's looking at me and got a big grin on his face, and it looks like he wants to say something.
Yeah, and also in Deuteronomy 10:19, it says, love this stranger, to
Amen.
Love him, to love someone who's different than you.
And could that be a foreigner?
Yes.
In their day?
Yes.
Yes. Here's the thing about it. They didn't have fences. We do. And back then it was agricultural everywhere. So if you were on a travel, you could travel across land and through fields. And if you need something, just go in and pick an ear of corn and eat and go home.
That's an amazing thing.
We don't have that today.
Yeah, the closest thing to a fence they had in the Torah and the 613 precepts was God said you had to have a parapet on your roof. And that was because God was concerned about those who might be visiting you, that they might fall off and get hurt. So he said, put a parapet up so you protect the lives of your guests.
Isn't there also a scripture that says they'll live in unwalled cities? Because I think the real vision of God is that peace is on the earth and man isn't striving against man, so there's no need to put up walls and fences. And if you're a liberal and you read the Bible, you'll find all the answers you're looking for. You really will. Because the liberal heart is that everyone is sharing everything. Well, that's scriptural. It's scriptural. It's right there in Acts chapter 2. As someone had need, they gave it.
Wow.
Now that's the socialist and communist, you know, bottom line. We're sharing so that no one has advantage. And I don't understand why they're so radically against God in those systems, because some of the baseline thinking in there comes out of the Bible.
Because they want it to be an idea of man and not have God involved.
I understand that part. But here we have in the scriptures the whole reason why we do what we do is because we're walking in a kingdom. And in this kingdom, there is a power, and the power's entire purpose is to be a light to people. I'm justified by a faithfulness to a movement of God in his kingdom. And it has an action, and that action is towards others. The grace is there for me to love God. The grace is there for me to love myself, and the grace for me is there for me to love my neighbor. And it takes his grace. It takes his grace to do it. And Jesus is the full revelation of that. Therefore, being justified by his faithfulness, we now are walking in the faithfulness. We have peace with God. you don't have peace with God also if you're not willing to rest in his faithfulness. And by resting in his faithfulness, you are acting in faith.
Wow. That's amazing by those the things that you're saying, because if we're doing that, it's grace. It's actually God that's doing it. We're just vessels being used by him for him to be out, reach out and love people and minister to people.
Those of you out there, and we do have a phone number. It's 631-533-4099. You can give us a call, or I guess we're on Blog Talk, so
yeah.
You have to call our Blog Talk number. What is that again?
347-850-1420.
So give us a call. If you're out there and you don't have peace, you don't have peace. Do you have frustrations? Do you have anger? Do you have anxiety? You have ulcers, headaches. You have things that are moving your body around and your heart palpitates and, you know, shortness of breath. These are all signs of what? Stress.
Anxiety.
Do you have those things? Because those things are byproducts of the human soul not at peace. And generally speaking, the human soul that is not at peace is striving. Why does man have to strive? Why does man strive?
Because it wants to make something out of itself.
Say that again in a different way.
It wants to make itself feel like it's done something.
And what causes the stress?
Not being able to do it.
Not being able to do it.
Trying to survive in a world where you're being resisted by an enemy who doesn't want you to succeed and wants to destroy you.
How many people understand that?
They don't. And it's ignorance too.
Okay, so we need to make sure we explain it to people, because most people don't have any revelation that they're in the middle of a fight.
Well, that's an amazing point, because even Jesus, when he's saying in John chapter 8, you know, the one that they quote all the time, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Even the Pharisees, they wanted to immediately argue, well, how are we in bondage?
If you're not at peace, you're in bondage. Let's make it real simple. If you're not at peace, you're in bondage. A lack of peace is a sign that there is a movement of the devil around your life. Because what he's doing is he's convincing you that there is no method, there is no deliverance, there is no salvation for your situation. So eventually, at some point, We come at the thing two different ways. God can, or the devil convinces us to go our own way, and it looks attractive. So we pursue it. But then that way turns out to be wrong.
The road to death.
And now that we've pursued it, we're locked up in it, and it's starting to destroy us, because within it is a fire of stress. And the frustrations and the anger and the anxiety and the difficulties of the mind that are there in that place, they start working on the body. And the body is starting to deteriorate under that barrage of stress. And all that's required is one thing. Because the devil led you into that fire. And you agreed. And you went into it. So what has to happen? You have to find one thing. Enough humility and brokenness to say, I made a mistake, or I need help.
And in ourselves, we don't want to ask for help because we're taught to be independent.
No, because we're proud.
Yeah.
The whole reason the devil can take advantage of us is because we're proud. That's what got Eve. he tapped into the human level of pride and got her to be tantalized by something that she was seeing. And once she saw it, she wanted it, and now she decided to go get it. And now she's under a whole level of darkness that's working against her and her husband and creating all kinds of stresses. And the whole point now is, when you're under that stress, what do you do?
Go get somebody else to be under stress with you.
Yeah, that's what we do on our human level.
I'm thinking like, well, yeah, I mean, with her, she went in immediately, fed it to Adam too.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we cry out to God?
We can, because we could go through cycles as well. And if we go through a cycle of disobedience and we feel the consequences of that cycle of disobedience, we have no choice but to cry out to God. And we see that even in the scriptures, like in the book of Judges, chapter 3, with Israel.
And, well, don't put the mic away. Throw that out there and then just turn away.
Yeah.
What does Judges chapter 3 say?
I'll read it to you.
Why don't you? You're teaching Jimmy how to do radio here. That way, if you bring something, you got to explain yourself, because this is radio. So our phone number is 631-533-4099. I'm going to have, while you're looking for that, Jimmy, I'm going to have Robert give us our top of the hour exit for Blog Talk and intro into the other stuff. So go ahead.
So thanks for listening. You've been listening to Olive Branch Ministries International, Late Night in the Word. We come to you twice every week, Thursday night, Saturday night, 11:30 to 12:30 a.m., 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. You can reach us in the next few minutes at 631-533-4099. 631-533-4099. Blog Talk listeners, you can still reach us at 347-850-1420, 347-850-1420. Let us know if this teaching has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions or any prayer requests, we're praying for you, and we just appreciate you letting us into your homes tonight. Or if you're traveling and listening via smartphone, we certainly appreciate you allowing us to travel with you. We praise God for this ministry, and we praise God for you listeners out there. Let us know that you're listening, that we have that this ministry has been a blessing to you. We'd appreciate hearing from you. Contact us via email as well at the word contact at olivebranchonline.org. That's contact at olivebranchonline.org. And we'll see you next Thursday. And shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Jimmy.
Yeah, Judges chapter 3, verse 7. If you could turn to that page, it says in verse 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand Cushan Rishathaim.
Ooh, you said it close.
King of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And it says in verse 11, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died.
We also see the same kind of thing in Egypt when the Israelites were in bondage. They started to cry out to God. In Romans 5, chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 2, and I...